And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowzer Bowser Wednesday? Because God is in charge of this crazy bus called The Christian Journey. First, this is now one of my favorite messages that we're going to review. I have a top 10 list that I've shared over the past 40 years, and this one that we're going to talk about today ranks amongst those top 10. The insight the Lord granted me stems from the guidance of others, along with a blend of personal experiences. Here's my understanding. Ready? I know nothing, but in Christ Jesus, all wisdom and knowledge are encompassed. What could be more profound than growing in our faith and understanding of who it is that actually holds all the authority? Next in this material, we'll cover one of the most significant moments between master and servant, between disciple and rabbi, and between the Lord God Almighty and humanity. Ooh. Often, without being honest, we question God, asking, "Don't you care?" When things appear dire, emotions overwhelmed, and control slips away, we feel like we're drowning. The pivotal question remains, God, don't you care? Finally, I'm still amazed because it makes me realize how closely connected I am to the disciples. When Jesus spoke to them, he simply asked, "Where is your faith? You believed I am the Messiah, and you believed I can provide for you and assist you, now facing a trial beyond your capacity. What happened to your faith? Has it endured or has it vanished?" Everything boils down to this simple process. Who is this that we're dealing with? Who is this that has called us by name and directed our lives? When we answer that question, we discover the truth.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Just so much. Remember, it's not professional radio, it's just radio. So we're asking you, what do you think? So you can email us during the show. That's kind of fun that way. David@hemustincrease.org. That's David@hemustincrease.org. You can text us live during the show right now. Whether you're in San Diego, whether you're in Denver, Dallas, or Detroit, just not the moon, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, when you make that call, you're going to end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. All right, going out on a limb on this one. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like eating your favorite vegetable. Aww. All right, so now vegetables, because, you know, some people really like vegetables. A lot of people like vegetables, right? So, you know, I just want to say, Jacob, what is your favorite vegetable?
You know, I guess, I don't know if this is a basic pick, but I would have to say broccoli.
Broccoli. Yep. Do you like broccoli? Do you like some kind of sauce on it? Do you like something with it? What do you like on it? Or just straight broccoli?
Yeah, just straight broccoli. And okay. Then, like, of course, like cheesy broccoli. Like,
oh, yeah, cheesy broccoli. Yeah. That's good. Yep. You know, I got to say, I like corn.
Yep, corn's I like corn, too.
You got to like corn. And then I like corn in bread. Therefore, I like cornbread, which to me is a
vegetable. That's good too.
And a bread. There you go. That's what it's like talking to you eating like
cornbread. Do you like a broccoli casserole?
I love.
It's good too.
You know what? The truth is, I love food. let's just be honest. I love food. We're eventually just gonna end up
like just going out of the topic and turn into like a food segment or something. I don't know.
We did that in San Diego. We did the food. We had a food week, and so we would talk about it. And then they bring food in, and I don't want to say that I didn't really care much about doing the radio show at that point, but I didn't really care much about doing the radio show at that point because I was eating all this food. It was unbelievable. Anyway, here's the bottom line. The bottom line is maybe you've got a praise report, maybe you've got a prayer request. Maybe you've got something that's going on and you just want to share it. Maybe you had an insight. The Lord gave you some insight. Maybe you're just learning something. You're growing in the Lord and you just want people to be aware. It doesn't matter. All that's good. Maybe you've got a hankering to listen to really stupid jokes. Well, then hang on. You're in the right place. Maybe you want to hear a little bit of history. Well, hang on. You're in the right place. Maybe you want to answer Bible trivia. Well, here you go. Here it is. Bible trivia. Ready? The answer here is straightforward. The book of Revelation was addressed to Theophilus. Is that true or false? The book of Revelation was addressed to Theophilus. Is that true or false? All you got to do is look at Revelation chapter 1, the first couple of verses, you'll know. The book of Revelation was addressed to Theophilus. Is that true or false? If you think you know the answer, by the way, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. So the way to find out is you go to where? The book of Revelation. And what will you do? You'll read the first few verses. Actually, the first 9 verses, but that's besides the point. The book of Revelation, true or false, was addressed to Theophilus. Wow. We got a lot of stuff going on today, or what? Super excited. Okay, so we do have somebody that wants to answer that trivia question. Very, very cool. They ready? All right, send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, David. This is Fred. How you doing today?
I'm doing great, Fred. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
Oh, brother, it's great to hear your voice. Great, great, great to hear your voice. Just want you to know that.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. Now you're ready for this. I'm going to set it up, and then let me ask it, and then I'll give you the chance to answer. You ready?
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
Here we go. Right. The book of Revelation was addressed to Theophilus. Is that true or false?
I'm amused by the question, man, and there's definitely some humor with it, but no, it was not addressed to Theophilus. It was addressed to the 7 churches.
That is correct, Amanda! Now, as a backup bonus, just because I know you probably know this, do you know what 2 books were addressed to Theophilus, even though Theophilus means one who loves God, but do you know which ones were?
And I know it's right on the tip of my tongue. I just can't say it right now.
Okay.
I'm sure by the time we hang up, it'll probably come to mind.
Yeah, you know that always happens, too. When somebody asks you a question, you're on live, you're like going, and then your brain goes, Here's a hint. He was a doctor, and he wrote two books. That's right. So Luke, and what was the other letter he wrote? What was it Gospel of Luke and?
What was it Acts?
That is correct, Amundo. You are a double. See, you got it. You were right there. Excellent job. Excellent, brother. How are you?
I have a question, and I'll let you answer it off the phone. It's nothing amazing, but it's just something that I've been pondering for years now. That certainly, I'm a minister, and I like to be right in things that I tell people about the Lord and about the Bible.
Yep. What do you got? What's the question?
Okay. Revelation chapter 6 all the way through 18 is dealing with the Great Tribulation. I've been of the opinion that the Great Tribulation and the 7-year marriage feast happen simultaneously. I know that the Great Marriage Feast is found in Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 through 10. Does those 2 events occur at the same time?
And if that's the case, and I'm not saying it is or isn't, but if that's the case, then what does that tell you about the book of Revelation? that it is not sequential in its, just like Genesis is not sequential, like Genesis 2 goes back to halfway through Genesis 1. So if that's the case, right, then 19 and 6 are happening simultaneously. If you're right, I'm just saying, if you're right, then that means it's not a perfect systematic scenario one step after another then, huh?
Right, right.
Ah, there you go. Okay.
So that would be you don't think they happen at the same time.
Well, I'm
when
not.
When does it happen? When does the great tribulation? When does not the great tribulation? The great marriage supper feast.
Yeah, I think there's a great possibility that that application that you're giving has tons of merit. I wouldn't lay down and die for the doctrinal position, but I would say that's a fascinating correlation. It's a fascinating connect. There are already people who think that. So you really want to go into, I'm trying to think of who to send you to that you could, maybe William Hendrickson is a really good author from the past that might be a person you could read. He wrote More Than Conquerors, which is a phenomenal, phenomenal book on Revelation. That's a okay. person that you can read, and his name again is Hendrickson. More Than Conquerors is the name of the book. Okay. And the point of that is, there, and this is, I'm actually glad you brought this up because we're going to close out a book next, actually tomorrow, and then we're going to be doing Jude, and then I have three more books that are coming up, and I'm going to teach Revelation, but and people are going to want me to be dogged about one side. I'm not going to do it. And the reason I'm not going to teach it that way is because I'm a manifold millennialist. I think that the applications are beneficial if you know all of them, not one of them. That's my take.
Absolutely right. And I brought to that, another reason I brought to that because I know that the Bible as a whole will certainly has a Jewish connotation to it. It's about Jewish custom, about Jewish life.
Correct.
And I was under the impression that the Great Marriage Feast is based on a Jewish wedding, and I thought it was my understanding that the Jewish wedding lasts for 7 days.
At least. See, now that is true, and that is 100% correct. And even longer, depending on what your culture is. See, that's the funniest part. But yes, 7 days. So you feast for
well,
seven days.
Could 7 days be interpreted as 7 years?
Yes, correct. You are right.
So I'm just, and
don't you love it? Don't you love that?
I'm willing to say. I mean, I want to be right. I don't want to be.
Yeah.
I wanna
well, you are right. It's just not that's not the only right. But that is right. In other words, 2 + 2 = 4. But then again, so is 3 + 1.
Exactly.
See?
Exactly.
Very interesting.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay, well, I'll hang up, and I don't want to waste your time. But thank you. God bless you, and I'll be checking with you again. You're one of my favorite people. I love your show.
All right.
I love your ministry, not show.
Yeah,
ministry.
I appreciate that, brother.
All right. God bless you.
You too. Bye-bye. What a great call. You see, people are like, I can feel it through the mic. No, it's 2 + 2 = 4. Well, so is 4 + 0, and so is 3 + 1. So is 5 - 1. There's a lot of ways to get to 4. See? Dave, stop it. Okay. I'll stop that. In the meantime, we're going to do our DNA because we're just having fun, and you might as well just enjoy it. This is going to be a fun teaching anyway. Here it is, DNA. D stands for Draw Closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Every day. I don't care. Every day. I don't care. I don't care if you're pre-millennialist, all-millennialist, post-millennialist. I don't care if you're a manifold millennialist. I don't care. Spend time with God. I promise you, when you get to heaven, he's not going to go, well, I don't know. I don't like your millennium take. I'm not sure I'm going to let you in. It will be. How's the relationship? That will be there. Draw closer to the Lord daily. That's D. N. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never. Never. And they are going to increase the persecution for those that stand in the word of God. Just so you can be aware. They are going to increase the persecution for anybody that wants to stand by the truth because you're not moldable to their desires. Just remember that. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words, no matter what it takes. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
Always ready to go for the kingdom of God. Ready for whatever it is. Ready to do, say great things, say nothing, pray, not pray. I mean, whatever it is, you just want to do it in partnership with God, always being on God. And ready for the kingdom of God, right? You want to be in a part. What is better? I'm just going to tell you, there's nothing better than being in a partnership with God. Nothing. What do you think heaven's going to be?
It's going to be an eternal partnership with God.
That's so cool, isn't it? That's just awesome. Right, we're going to take our break because I got so much to do. Here it is. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
Hot topics.
Pointing out inconsistencies is not disparaging. It's just the truth. Number two, our job as in church discipline is where you can't judge those that are outside the church. Number three, the people we were talking about were Christians anyway. Number four, you think this is bad? Wait, this just gets worse and worse, people. Regarding Paul's statement of speaking evil of leaders being inappropriate, the context is also critical and can be misapplied. Now, how many times have I told you, watch out for bad Bible brains.
The David Spoon Experience. The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, where I'm going to take the liberty and share a joke that Jeanette shared with me through the telephone. Here's her joke. Get ready. You can respond to this, Jacob. Do you know ants? Do you know why ants never get sick? Do you know why ants never get sick? Because they have little antibodies. That's pretty good. And then under the meme, it says, please don't unfriend me.
That one's pretty good.
That's a pretty good one right there. Here's your next trivia question. Okay, this is a little more challenging. So you notice that I'm working people into the true-false scenario. When Jesus returned from the desert, he learned of the arrest of John the Baptist. Is that true or false? No, wait. Matthew chapter 4, verse 12. Matthew chapter 4, verse 12. When Jesus returned from the desert, he learned of the arrest of John the Baptist. Is that true or false? Matthew chapter 4, verse 12. And as I tell everybody, if you don't check the reference, it's on you. That's all I got for there. If you think you know the answer, by the way, what do we got? 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, David, at hemustincrease.org. And I did want to say thank you to Jeanette for yesterday saving us when I had the wrong answer on the trivia question. That does happen. It is, you know. People are like, do you make mistakes? About 100,000 a day. No, I'm a good 100 to 200 a day. That's what I would say. Somewhere in that ballpark. Very interesting trivia question. You do need to check the reference. I'm not going to say that anymore. When Jesus returned from the desert, he learned of the arrest of John the Baptist. Is that Matthew in Matthew chapter 4, verse 12? And I just have this feeling I'm going to have to pull out the book just to make sure, because I'm getting a lot of wrong answers, and I always get concerned when that happens. Let me see. Yeah, okay, that is the right answer. Okay, so you guys are on your own there. I'm not going to make a mistake on this one. Let's get into the text, by the way, so you can call if you want to, but we will wait and see. Here we are in Mark chapter 4, verse 35 is where I'm going to read from. I want you to get ready because this is going to be – oh, wait, somebody calling in. Wait. And we'll do as much as we need to do on this show because I'm going to get this message in no matter what. Getting this message in no matter what, okay? I'm just saying that. Again, your question, when Jesus returned from the desert, he learned of the arrest of John the Baptist. Matthew chapter 4, verse 12. Is somebody ready to answer a trivia question? Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, Gary. I'm feeling good, feeling strong in the Lord. And just asking the Lord to kind of heal my knee, that's been going on for a couple of years, huh? So,
well, I'll continue to pray for you.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. All right, here you go. Here it is. You ready? I'm going to make sure I get this right. I want to make sure I say it. When Jesus returned from the desert, he learned of the arrest of John the Baptist. Now, the reference point is Matthew 4:12. Is that true or false?
That is true.
You are correct, Amanda! Matthew chapter 4, verse 12. That's when he learned of John the Baptist's arrest. Exactly, sir. Thank you, sir. How are things? I want to pray for you. How are things on the other arenas? Are they okay? Need improvement? Still on the finances and stuff?
Well, I need improvement.
Okay.
Keep praying.
Let's do it. Let's do it right now together. Father, we come before you right now. We thank you. We praise you. We worship you. I just thank you for my brother Gary. I do want you to bless him. I know that we keep asking you for his health, and I'm going to keep doing that, Lord. But I want you to bless him in other ways as well. I want him to know that he's in favor with you and that you love him and you're surrounding him and you're protecting him. But, Lord, we're still asking you specifically that you would bring healing into his body. By the power of the Holy Spirit, without being afraid, without being full of doubt, just a mustard seed of faith, asking you, please bring healing into Gary's body. Make the change that only you can make in him. For you hold all authority, and we ask you to pour out that healing power in his body through your energy, Lord, through your power. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen, and I'll continue to pray for all of you and pray for you specifically, and God bless you.
Thank you, bro. God bless you. All right. All right, let's get to the text. We're going to go into this right now. Here we go. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. So let's just understand verse 37. There's a furious squall. You want to know what a furious squall is? It's a whirlwind or a minor hurricane. Major, but a minor. Doesn't matter. If you're in a boat on the water and there's a minor hurricane by you, that is a tense moment. Now, have you ever experienced storms in your life? Right? You're in the boat, right? Jesus is the one that's with you in the boat, right? You're in the perfect will of God, right? Guess what? Storm still comes. I'm so tired of people going, if you're in the perfect will of God, nothing bad will happen to you. Tell that to Jesus. I mean, that's just so dumb. So a furious squall is a whirlwind or a hurricane, a massive, not a minor wind, not, oh, it's windy, time to fly a kite. We're talking about serious stuff. And in your life, that happens. Now, this is the key in verse 38. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. I don't know how loud it was or wasn't in that storm. That's not my problem. What I know is he's asleep. So what happens? The disciples woke him up and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" That's where I want you to stop. So where's Jesus? He's in the stern, which is the back of the boat, right? And what was Jesus doing? He was sleeping. And if you're a disciple on this boat, you're going, "What are you doing?" Don't lie about this. There are so many times where God does stuff in our lives and we're like going, "What are you doing? What are you sleeping? Are you sleeping on the backside of the boat? Don't you see there's this hurricane right here? Wake up." Right? Now you have to think about this. I want you to be the disciples, be the people that are going through this. The Lord wants you to understand this experience. Jesus, you're in the boat with Jesus. He's the Messiah. You know, this is great, fantastic. The storm comes. Your life is in danger. It doesn't look good. You're still in the will of God, but guess what? Where's the Messiah? He's a snoozing. That is our perception, isn't it? And so you're in the boat, and you're like, "Don't you care?" Now, when I taught this message in Arizona, the first time I taught this message at a visiting church, it was a kind of a large church. I just said, people must think that they went in and they went to Jesus and stroked the side of his head and, oh, Jesus, wake up, Jesus. We know you're sleeping, but we're dying here. It's like, are you kidding me? You know those guys went in the back there going, "Get up. Get up. What are you doing? We're going to get killed here. Get up. Wake up. Do something." This was not this soft, simple moment this was serious. These guys were fishermen. They knew what a bad storm was. They knew when it was bad. Hey, guess what? You know when it's bad. You're not an idiot. You know this is bad. This is bad. This is bad. I don't like this. This is bad. And sometimes our perception is the Lord is disconnected. And that phrase they used is a phrase that I think many of us have used, although we tend to couch it with better Christianese. See, there's Christianity, churchianity, and there's Christianese. You're thinking, what's Christianese? That's the Christian language. The Christian language. What is that? Well, we don't want to say to him, "Don't you care?" So we say it differently while we have that same feeling. "I'll go through anything you want, Lord." But in the back inside of you, you're going, "Don't you care?" It's just being honest with the Lord. Don't be one of those people that are kind of fake. Be exactly who you are, who God made you to be. That's what he wants. And so they're like, what are you doing? Get up. Do something. You're not the only person in the Christian journey who's ever said that to God. The disciples said it. It's in Holy Writ. And it's right in front of us. When we get back, I want to talk about Jesus when he gets up. And it's like how that responds, how that goes, and what he says, which I think what he says is one of the most bizarre things ever. And that's what we're going to look at. So we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Well, since we're being honest, so last week I was diagnosed with cancer, and that has been the biggest red flag. We actually thought, and I know God heals, I believe God heals, we actually thought I was going to begin surgery tomorrow, and I would have been out for about a month, which means everyone would have to do the conference without me, and that was going to be a big deal. We're keeping our faith. We're keeping our head up. We're going to keep working hard. Praise God that my surgery was delayed to after conference. And so really this conference will actually be the last time I get to speak for probably a good 2 or 3 months because of the surgery. I won't be able to speak. And even if you hear me now, I'm speaking kind of not as strong as normal. But I'm kind of excited this weekend, this conference is going to be my chance to say everything I need to say about Jesus and his love for people. And hopefully, you know, hopefully God can use my story as an example that no matter what you go through, you still have a calling. You still have mm-hmm. a purpose. You don't let trials stop you mm-hmm. From doing what God's called you to do. So yeah. I'm thankful I get to be here for the conference, but that's definitely, been some challenges to get ready for it, but it's going to be amazing.
All right. So there's a great thing that comes out of this from a scriptural point of view that I know you know, but sometimes hearing it from a third party is always a helpful element. And that is the Apostle Paul was specific in saying that my speech might not be that great, but don't misunderstand the representation and the power of the kingdom of God and the Holy Spirit that operates through me.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you can just sit there and say, you know, there's a connection there mm-hmm. between what he went through, because they were making fun of the way he talked right up until he came. And then that changed in a hurry. Right. And so the idea is to understand that. And then also, a mark of maybe dancing, but a mark of notice would be that you're doing this conference and there's a great deal of warfare that's coming mm-hmm. against you. And
absolutely.
It's like, that's just got to tell you, well, the enemy doesn't move in warfare if there's no purpose to move in warfare.
That's right.
Now, I always try to tell people, Christians, when they go, oh, well, the enemy doesn't care about me. Well, because I never hear him, or I never, it's like, that's a problem. That's not a plus. That's a negative.
Yes.
You know, it's like, that means you are no threat to any kingdom mm-hmm. anywhere, and mm-hmm. that is not good. Let's pray. Can I pray for you?
Yes,
real
please.
Quick? Let's do
yes,
it. So, Father, we come before you right now. We pray in the name of Jesus that you would just touch Jason in this surgery process. We know that you can heal. We know that you mend. We know that you help people recover. But you also help people accomplish the tasks assigned to them. And what we pray for is a peace for him and his family. And we pray for a strength, an energy, almost talked about in Colossians, where you give the people the energy to accomplish. And we pray for that energy to work through him, through you, so he can finish the task that was set before him and recognize everything he's doing here has kingdom and eternal value, and nothing should take away from that. We pray that in Jesus' name.
The David Spoon Experience.
And if you can't shout sight, you'll have to face a penalty.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. So Eric wanted to know, he said, Christianese, aha. He goes, what are the other two? The other two, so it's Christianity, churchianity, and then Christianese. And there's only one of those three that are good. Christianity, that's good. A living relationship with a living God made possible through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. That's Christianity. Churchianity is trying to be a Christian because you go to church. And Christianese is talking the lingo, just in case you want to know. Okay, so I got another trivia. I got two more trivia questions, and we want to get into this. We got a lot that we're still going to try and cover, so let's get ready for this. Now, I am going to tell you severely that you need to check out the reference on this one. Not the last one, but on this one. Alexander and Rufus were the daughters of Simon of Cyrene. Mark chapter 15, verse 21. Is that true or false? Alexander and Rufus were the daughters of Simon of Cyrene. Mark 15:21. Is that true or false? If you think you know the answer, by the way, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. I'm going to send you up to the website, blah, 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 blah. If you don't know how to give, if you go to hemustincrease.org and you click on the donate button, it gets to be super duper easy. But if you need help beyond that, you can always call me after hours on the 214 in reasonable hours. And if you need help beyond that, you can always send a check into the station. So it's whatever we can do to accommodate. We just want you to know we're there for you. And I just want you guys to know, I don't know how to say this, totally appreciate everybody. Not just the givers who I pray for, but the people who want to give and can't give. I appreciate that too. That's a blessing as well. Anyway, check it out on the website, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemustincrease.org.
Hemustincrease.org!
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough roads to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
That's right. In fact, we don't need roads. Actually, our road will be paved with gold. So that's kind of a nice thing. There, our trivia question, just to let you know, Alexander and Rufus were the daughters of Simon of Cyrene. It's Mark 15:21. Is that true or is that false? See, it's a true or false. So the good news is you got a 50-50 shot. Is somebody ready to answer the trivia question? Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is a guy.
Hi, guy. How are you?
Good.
Good. All right, my brother. We are on a tight time frame, so we're going to run through it, and I'm going to set it up for you, and you answer the question, okay?
Sure.
Alexander and Rufus were the daughters of Simon of Cyrene. Is that true or false?
It's a false.
That is false! And why, my good brother, why is it false?
Because these names are his sons, not the daughters.
That is correct, Mundo, again! Isn't that sneaky? How are you today?
Well, I'm not feeling good. Feeling good because I didn't have a good time with my daughter, and I yelled at her, so I'm feeling really, really bad in that sense.
That's good, though. That's good, though, that you felt like, oh, man, I probably could have been more gentle. That's not a bad thing. Do you feel it's the Holy Spirit telling you that?
Yeah, since that time, I've been not feeling good. And
okay.
And I told my wife to tell her that I love her. And once I go home, I can apologize, but right now I'm not feeling good.
Yeah, that's
and
yeah,
I'm
that's,
asking the Lord to help me how to approach her. Yeah.
All right, let me pray for you. Let me pray, because you know what it is?
Keep my mouth shut.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, the fact that you're not feeling good about it tells you, especially if you go into the Psalms, that the Lord is the one that's kind of bringing it on you, but then you're confessing it, and that's the way to get better from it. So let's pray over that, okay?
Sure.
Father, we come before you right now. I thank you for my brother Samson, and of course I ask you to bless him. He's a blessing for the show and for the people that get to hear him. But he's saying something that exactly your servant David said. And he said when he did something wrong, kept it inside, and he got sick. He felt bad inside. He felt worse, like as a person. Then he confessed it, acknowledged it, surrendered it, and then he found relief. So that's exactly what our brother's doing. What a great lesson for every person that can hear him and that can hear me talking right now. That when you do it wrong and you bring that to bear on us, we need to confess that and acknowledge that and make it right. And we ask you, Lord, to give him a confidence for him to be honest. He didn't want to wound. But there are times where we all do things, we go a little bit further than we should, and you just need your help to the healing balm of Gilead just to make it good and to be in that spot and to know that his daughter loves him, supports him, and stands by him. And let him communicate the same and bless him and bring healing and peace in that situation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, David.
You're welcome, bro. You're welcome. It's good. Good. It's a good sign when you reflect King David and his words.
Good.
That's a good thing.
Good. Very. Hey, David. Sorry. On the other day, you gave me a scripture. Somehow, I forgot that scripture. Ephesian or Galatians, something. I was going to.
Oh, Colossians 1:29.
Colossians 1:29.
There you go.
Oh, okay. You got it, dude.
All right. Thank you, bro.
All right. Thank you.
God bless.
God bless.
Bye-bye. All right. I can't remember that.
Okay.
Remember where I put my keys. But I can tell you what scripture I gave him a couple of days ago. Okay, that's just the weird part. All right, let's go back to this. We got time. Got to get this in. Listen to this. This is so hilarious. So Jesus, I want to make sure you understand what's going on. Jesus is sleeping. The disciples say, "Don't you care if we drown?" Right? Okay. Verses 39. It says, verse 39. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down. It was completely calm. Verse 40. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Okay. All right. Now just stop being super spiritual. They said, "Don't you care?" He got up. Now, I'm this guy. I think he got up. Nobody gets up from a sleep, a deep nap, and just goes, "Here I am to save the day." You know, it's not like he gets up like Mighty Mouse, right? He's a person. He's probably a little bit more like us. Maybe not all that ecstatic that they woke him up. Okay? How do you know that? Well, look what he says to them. So he rebukes the wind and says to the waves. So the waves are the things that move. The wind is the thing that makes noise. You'll hear me say this a lot when we pray for people, is that we ask the Lord to quiet the wind, because wind needs to be quieted and the waves need to be stilled. So what that means is Jesus gets up and stops the noise and stops the turmoil. But then he says this. So things die down to completely calm. So I do want you to get the picture. So there, 1 minute they're thinking it's over, and the next minute it's like there's no wind. Completely calm means not zip, nothing. So from one to the other, right? He says to the disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Now, this is the part where why was I so afraid? Why was I so afraid? Are you kidding me? I was drowning. I thought I was going to drown. And then Jesus goes, "Where is your faith?" So in our example, for our own lives, we go through our circumstances. We secretly say with our Christianese, "Don't you care?" Even though we couch it with maybe other words. And the Lord responds to us by taking care of it. "Why are you so afraid? Where is your faith?" That statement actually gives me comfort. You want to know why? It's proof positive. I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because typical absentee faith, just like the disciples. I have the same faith, unfortunately, from time to time. I say this, and I know the Lord's going to take care of it until I think he's not going to take care of it. And then it's like he's saying to me, where's your faith in the situation? My only comfort in him saying, "Where's your faith?" is that I'm not the only person that goes through this. The disciples had the same thing happening. Good. I mean, that makes me feel better. But then they ask the most important question. So Jesus says, "Why are you so afraid?" Why am I so afraid? Did you look at the situation? "Do you still have no faith?" Apparently, I don't have active faith in all my situations. Verse 41. They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this?" Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. He's already done miracles, just in case you're wondering. Who is this? That is the critical question. Every time you're in a circumstance, who is this Jesus? Who is he? We need to understand for our life, for our situations, our frustrations, our dreams, and our future, who is this? This Jesus guy, this Jesus dude, the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord, who is this? When we come back, that's what we're going to answer. Who is this? All right, we'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Your break will be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Today is Have a Bad Day Day. I don't know. Have a Bad Day Day? Somebody had to take the time to name a day a bad day. I don't know.
I think it's also National Men's Day, so that kind of works.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go. Play Monopoly Day is also a holiday that some people like. And then World Toilet Day.
Okay.
I'm not even going to Not even close. Not even going to touch that. For those that want to know, this is the stuff I like. This is what you get when you listen to the show. On this day in 1959, the Edsel was discontinued. That might be interesting. But this is what's fascinating. Rocky and Bullwinkle, Rocky and his friends, premiered on this day in 1959. See, that's important.
I hated that cartoon.
Did you really hate
Horrible.
That cartoon?
Okay. Horrible.
I liked the cartoon. I always thought, you know, the Russians did it. Do you remember when they were going
Natasha
through?
Natasha and Boris.
They were going through this whole thing with Donald Trump and that whole thing, and people kept dropping in these memes with the – it was so funny. I mean, it was some pretty funny stuff. And I will tell you one last thing, and we'll get into the teaching. We'll do trivia in the next segment. I will let you know that my wife and I got into a discussion last night as we were watching television, as we were watching a show, while we're working on stuff together, and I don't have the answer, so I'm going to ask Wonder Julie. And if you call in for a trivia, you might be able to give us the answer. But we're watching a show, and in the show, there's all these people that are skydiving. And then the last guy goes, and I tried to say, well, it looks like he's skydived. And then I was like, well, that doesn't sound right, skydived, because that's past tense. And then skydove. And then that didn't sound right. And then skydiven, that doesn't sound right. Skydivid, that doesn't sound right. Skydiv, jump out. I mean, what is the past tense of skydived? It just seems weird. It seems like it's a weird. Do you have any idea what it is?
I don't know. I never would jump out of a perfectly good airplane.
It was one of those things we looked at each other and laughed because we're like, I don't even know the answer to this. My English is so bad. I can't even figure out how to give me the past tense. I mean, sky dove, but it just seems like a weird word. Maybe it's me. That's what happens when they experiment with you with drugs when you're like 1 year old. Try this on him. Try this on him. That was me. All right, let's go into Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Poor Wonder Julie's going, what happened to you? Nothing. It's the same idiotic me.
Hey, I leave you alone for one day, and the wheels come off.
Yeah, the wheels on the bus go round and round.
On Christ the solid rock I stand. All others
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station. You're in Texas. I was doing that for Don in case he's listening at the Radio Broadcasters Convention. KAAM 770. Okay. Trivia question. Joe, this is so easy. If you guys don't get this, okay, you know there's nothing weird going on in the last trivia question. This is a true or false. Your answer is in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. Joseph was the husband of Mary, the mother of Jesus. True or false? Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. Joseph was the husband of Mary, mother of Jesus. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. True or false? 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Joseph was the husband of Mary, mother of Jesus. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. True or false? Don't overthink it. I always tell you when they're trickier than they're supposed to be, and this is not one of those. Let's do real fast history.
Let's go live it in the past. Let's go live it in the past.
Okay, real quickly, National Sticky Bun Day. Okay.
Okay.
Right? It's like, well, are you going to complain about that? It's like, okay, yeah, cool. So is there a discount? 1842, the sewing machine is invented by John Guarino. 1848, the first telephone book. In 1848, the first telephone book is issued.
Wow. What's a telephone book? No, I was kidding.
Now that is right? Funny. That is a good one. 1953, the DNA molecule is discovered. Now, we should say that's not true. God's known about it for a long time. I just want to say that. All right. That was, sorry, I couldn't resist. Joseph was the husband of Mary, mother of Jesus. Is that true or false? Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. In the meantime, so you can either call us at 972-445-0770, text in 214-210-8483, or send an email, David, at hemustincrease.org. We're going to do kind of a quick review on this, and then don't let me forget to give the final answer if nobody calls in. So just backing it up, we're at Mark 4, 35 through 41. There's a furious squall, and we know, and a furious squall is a wind, whirlwind or a hurricane. We've experienced storms in our lives, so we understand that. Doesn't mean you're not in the will of God when you have a storm in your life. Stop thinking that. Verse 38, where was Jesus when it was going on? He was in the stern, back of the boat. He was sleeping. So if you're a disciple, you're like going, hello. The disciples woke him up. So I just want you to understand, I don't believe that they came in and they stroked his face. I believe they were disciples freaking out because they thought they were going to die. They said, don't you care? He got up. So I imagine, like I said, he's probably groggy. He's not like Mighty Mouse. Because he rebukes the wind and the waves, tells it to stop the noise, stop the turmoil. Why are you so afraid? Now, that is something that Jesus asks you and I on a pretty regular basis, in the sense that we are not exhibiting a trust when we're operating at that high level of fear. And so our response is usually, well, don't you know our circumstance? Like, which is ridiculous, because of course he knows our circumstance. Then he says this, where is your faith? And this is that situation where in every circumstance that you face, you have to have a fresh faith. You can't rely on faith that you've already used and put aside. You got to have fresh faith, kind of like fresh manna on a regular basis. And so it comes down to verse 41, and the entire thing comes down to verse 41. They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves, they obey him. So that becomes the issue for each one of us. In every turn, who is this? So I'm going to give you a couple of quick answers as to who this is. Philippians 2, 8 through 11. And being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Who is this? Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. And surely I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Who is this? I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Who is this? How about this one? Revelation 1:12. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. When I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet with the golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. His voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he had held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. He placed his right hand onto me and said, don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I'm the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. That's who this is. You get that? Wow. Who is this? It's the one that has a name above every name, It's the one that has all authority in heaven on earth. It's the one that sits far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. It's the one whose vision, his best friend saw him, well, technically his best friend saw him, and you can bet it shocked John, who was a very faithful disciple for many, many years, longest living disciple. It so shook John, he fell at the feet of Jesus as though he was dead. That's who this is. And when you sit there and think, I don't know about this circumstance, I don't know about this situation, I don't know how God is going to get me through this, how is Jesus going to save me in this situation? You just review those scriptures in Philippians 2, 8 through 11, in Matthew 28, 16 through 20, in Ephesians 1, 18 through 23, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 12 through 18, and then answer the question, who is this? This is Jesus. The one who called you by name. That's who this is. So when Jesus said, why are you so afraid? It was because he was reminding them who he was, who was in the boat with him, who said, we're going to the other side. And what have we said? We'll say it again. If they had to go over like a submarine, Jesus said, we're going to the other side, they were going to the other side. Because it was the Son of the Living God who said it. Get that? Wow. Right? That just puts everything in perspective. Joseph was the husband of Mary, mother of Jesus, according to Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. That is true, 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 and true. Now, the next time you're going through it, and you will go through it, you answer the question, who is this? And you answer it according to the Word of God, and you might just see yourself walking on top of the water, right? Okay. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, taking a 22.5-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.